I have to say that in January, I get very confused by the lectionary. At Christmas, we obviously have the birth of Jesus, but then in January, we move all over the place. The start of Epiphany in January, we meet the wise men or the Magi. There is debate over the timescale, which ranges from 12 days to 2 years when they arrived. Then on the second Sunday in Epiphany, we jump about 30 years to the baptism of Jesus. We had a break for the next two Sundays with Christian unity and the conversion of St. Paul, which brings us to today and the presentation of Jesus in the temple, known as Candlemas, which is tomorrow. On this day, we remember Mary's ritual purification, 40 days after the birth of Jesus, and the moment when the infant Jesus was formally presented to God in the temple at Jerusalem. So as we come to look at these two passages, Luke tells us what happened. Hebrews explains why it had to happen. A new baby in a family brings joy, but it also brings formalities. There are registrations to complete, doctors to see, appointments to attend. Nothing dramatic, just the ordinary routines of life that welcome a child into the world as it really is. That is exactly where Luke places Jesus. In Luke 2, there are no angels, no shepherds, no songs, just two parents, a baby, and faithful obedience. Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple to do what the law requires. It looks ordinary, but is anything but. Luke tells us, as Jesus fully empties our world, he's careful to show us that Jesus is fully part of human life because he was born into a family living under God's law. During the presentation in the temple, Jesus was like every other child, and three events took place. Firstly, circumcision. After 8 days, all male boys were circumcised in accordance with the Jewish law laid down in Leviticus. Secondly, redemption of the firstborn. We do not read about this, but it will have happened. Every male was sacred to God. The child was lent to parents by God. When a Jewish woman gave birth to her firstborn son, the father was obligated to redeem the child from a priest. They performed a ceremony called the redemption of the son. The father buys his son from the priest to redeem him, as it says in Numbers 18. When they are a month old, you must redeem them at the redemption price set at 5 shekels of silver. So parents could buy back their son from God for 5 shekels, which was about 75p in today's money. Thirdly, purification after birth. Because Jesus was a boy, Mary was ceremoniously unclean for 40 days. She could go about her daily tasks but not go to the temple. To go through the purification rite, Mary and Joseph would have brought to the temple a pair of doves or a young pigeon. For Jesus, Mary and Joseph and all these events would have been very special and all in accordance with Jewish tradition. And so we see that Jesus does not float above humanity, he steps fully into it. And yet, while everything looks ordinary, two people see what others miss. Their time in the temple was also very precious because they met two very special people, Simeon and Anna, who'd waited a long time to see God's son. As is so often the case, we only meet them once, and then we never hear of them again. Simeon lived in Jerusalem, and Luke wrote, "This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." It had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. It also appears that Simeon was an older man and probably be well advanced in years, because part of his revelation by the Spirit was that after seeing the child, he would depart this life. This explains why he said, after seeing Jesus as a baby, "Now let your servant depart in peace according to your word." And it was called the Nunc Dimittis in old money. And we have just sung a modern version of that Nunc Dimittis. The Spirit must have spoken to Simeon that he would see the Lord's anointed before he died. Did Simeon hear an audible voice or an inward voice from God and the Holy Spirit? We don't know. But we do know that the Spirit spoke to him in one way or another. And that's obvious from these verses in Luke 2. Somehow the Spirit must have communicated to Simeon that Jesus is the only way to salvation. As he told Mary and Joseph, he said, "Mine eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." This is why his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. But then came a prophecy about Jesus specifically to Mary. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that will be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul also, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." The sword Simeon speaks of is a metaphor for the profound suffering, sorrow, and grief that Mary would one day endure as she watched her son die on the cross. At least two significant revelations are contained in Simeon's words. Firstly, Jesus is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. Those who believe in him will rise, receiving new life, an entrance to the kingdom, or those who reject him will fall. Christ becomes a stumbling block to unbelief, just as Paul later explains in 1 Corinthians, where the message of the cross is foolish to some and the power of God to others. Secondly, Simeon foretells that Mary herself will share in this suffering. A sword will pierce her own soul. This prophecy finds its fulfillment at the cross, where Mary stands and watches her son die, while Jesus himself is physically pierced. The pain of that moment fulfills both the spiritual and literal extents of Simeon's words. Mary would carry this prophecy in her heart for the next 33 years. We can't help but wonder how much she truly understood at the time, and how these words must have echoed back to her with devastating clarity as she stood beneath the cross. Now the second person we meet is Anna. And this time we do know a little bit more about her. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and Luke tells us that she was very old. She was a widow because her husband had died when they'd only been married for 7 years. Anna was not like most women of her time. She chose a different path. More than likely, after her husband's death, Anna would have been encouraged to get married again and have children. Instead, she chose to stay single. She chose to share her faith with as many people as she could and decided to serve the Lord. She chose to fast and pray, worshipping the Lord day and night. Where she stayed in the temple, we don't know, but she would be in the temple. She chose to tell them the news of the Saviour, that he was coming, no matter how long it might be before he came. She knew her purpose, and she didn't let anyone's opinions or comments keep her from it. Anna's choice would not only affect her life in an abundant way, but also the lives of others ever since. Surely it was no coincidence that brought Anna into the temple. Just as the Spirit of the Lord guided Simeon, so it's safe to say he guided Anna. Anna's whole soul was filled with adoration because the old intercessor saw the answer to her prayers. So what can we learn? Just as Simeon and Anna had a role to play in God's plan, so do we. Simeon and Anna recognized that Jesus was God's salvation, a light for the nations, a sign that will be opposed. The baby belongs to the routine of human life, but he also belongs to the external purposes of God. The Hebrews tell us that he came to become like us. And Paul, who it's felt wrote Hebrews 2, explains why this matters. Paul wrote, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humility." Jesus did not become human
as a temporary disguise. He became human because only a human could save humans. And Paul tells us why. Paul wrote, only Jesus could defeat death from the inside, break the power of fear, and become a merciful and faithful high priest. Luke shows us that the baby being carried into the temple. Hebrew shows us the Saviour who will carry us into God's presence. Everything in Luke's story points ahead. The child presented in the temple will one day become the true temple. The baby redeemed with an offering will one day offer himself. The child Simeon holds in his hands will one day hold us fast in temptation and suffering. Hebrews tells us, because he himself suffered when he was tempted or tested, he is able to help those who are being tempted. The baby has come not just to be admired, but to stand for us, to suffer with us, and to save us. Simeon's word reminds us that this story is not sentimental. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many. The shadow of the cross falls across the cradle. Christmas is not the beginning of a fairy tale. It was the beginning of a rescue. Jesus became like us so that he could redeem us, defeat death, and help us in our weakness. He went from the cradle to the cross. The baby in the temple looks small, fragile, and ordinary. But Hebrews tells us the truth. This child is God's answer to sin, fear, suffering, and death itself. He entered our world completely so that no part of our lives would ever be beyond his saving reach. So let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you shared our flesh and blood so that we might share your life. When we feel weak, remind us that you understand. When we're tempted, remind us that you're near. When we fear and death threatens to overwhelm us, help us to trust the one who became as a child and reigns as our Saviour. Amen.